Okay, topic number three.
Okay. Diane Ravitch opined in the New York Times this Tuesday that turnaround schools are PR fabrications. Does her argument hold weight? And where do we go from here?
You know, her argument does hold some weight. I mean, it's true that she points to some examples that people have been touting. Then you look at the data, and, you know, I mean, it's hard to make a case that they're really fantastic schools are doing tremendously well. The problem is she goes on at the end of the article to basically lay out this defeatist attitude that says, well, you know, as long as kids are poor and coming from unstable homes, this is the best we can expect. And I think that's where I would disagree with her. But at the same thing, look, the other thing is, you know, reformers have, we've boxed ourselves in this corner with our Pollyanna statements. I mean, if you do look at really high poverty schools, and you look for ones that are high achieving, you know, David Harris and others have said, look, you're talking about 1% of those schools, 2% of those schools. I mean, it's really hard to get strong achievement results with really, really poor kids. Now, you can get gains. So I think, you know, are we, can we be less afraid in the school reform movement to say, look, what would success look like? We're talking about a kid coming in from an impoverished background. And it's not the soft bigotry of low expectations to say that it may not be 100% proficiency.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the soft bigotry of low expectations, but it is, right? I mean, as soon as you try to talk bluntly about this stuff and about the challenges, somebody in the reform community is eager to hammer you as an apologist and a defeatist,
right?
Which is how we wound up in this box. Look, I mean, it's one thing to say, and I think there's a distinction here, to say turnarounds have been massively oversold, that a lot of the gains are ephemeral, right? You think about the high-flying schools, I guess maybe Ed Trust or whoever did 10 years ago. You know, when you look at those schools a couple of years later on, it turns out that very few of them continue to excel. Mm-hmm. There's this, you know, comes and goes phenomenon there. Tom Loveless has talked about this with, you know, the difficulty of actually moving schools in terms of California performance. On the other hand, when people have been able to build school communities from scratch, when they've been able to take these, you know, tough to serve kids, but put them into schools where they're not trying to turn around a troubled institution, but purposefully recruiting a faculty, putting in place a curriculum, you know, there have been, to my mind, you know, hundreds of success stories which have done well and which I think have promise. But these are also harder to scale than some of the proponents want to suggest.
And hundreds is still, right.
It's hundreds is still
small.
Very limited, yeah.
And we don't know for sure that the kids are the same kind of kids, right? I mean, they may be poor, but they might not be as poor. They, you know, maybe their families are a little more stable or their mothers are a little better educated or whatever.
But, you know, this is, Diane's going to write what Diane's going to write. That is what it is. But this is what you, me, and Marty talked about in our EdNext piece, you know, 6 months ago, that one of the ways that reform community makes it hard on itself is by making grandiose claims. You know, Diane's piece should just be, it's hard to turn around schools. We all know this. Let's move on. But because reformers have so inflated these, you know, silly expectations as a marketing tool, this winds up playing as a big, you know, ooh, look at that. You never thought of this kind of story.